Hello and welcome to the Gregory Dickow podcast. My name is Rob, and in just a moment, you'll hear from my dad, Gregory Dickow, with his latest Sunday message from Life Changers Church. But before we do that, I wanted to let you know about a season we are in called Heart for the House. This is where we take several weeks out of the year to celebrate what God is doing in and through our global church family. Listen, we could not do what we do without the faithful generosity of our church family and our ministry partners. And if you want to see more of the impact that your giving is making, or if you'd like to make a gift, a donation towards Heart for the House, you can head over to gregorydickow.com/heart. The link is in the description. And on behalf of my dad and our entire church family, I want to thank you for your generosity. And now for the content you've been waiting for. Here is the latest message from Gregory Dickow. Enjoy.
Well, welcome everybody. Welcome global family. And we're dedicating, as you heard from Robert, we're dedicating this Sunday in our Heart for the House to really reflect on and thank God for our global church family and being a part of a global church community. And with that being said about our global church community, I also want you to experience what today is dedicated for. From my heart, I felt like today was supposed to be a global communion service. And so we're going to take communion at the end of the service. So get your elements ready, some crackers, some grape juice, some wine, some bread, whatever you use for communion, whatever you can get your hands on for communion. And we're going to celebrate communing with Jesus and with each other, because that's what we're doing when we have communion. We're sharing His body. We're experiencing His body. We're experiencing His blood. We're experiencing the benefits of His body and the benefits of His blood. We're communing with each other because we're the body of Christ. And we're a global community wherever you're watching, whether it's in the neighborhood or whether it's worlds away. We're one, and we're one family. We're one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord, the Bible says. So I want you to experience that. So we will have communion at the end of the service. And so 2 weeks ago, I shared three words with you, stay with it. And last week, I shared two words with you. So three words. 2 weeks ago, get these numbers right. I shared three words 2 weeks ago, stay with it. I shared two words 1 week ago, press on. And I got one word for you today, attack. 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 You'll see what I mean in a moment. Don't attack the person next to you, but attack. I'll show you. In Psalm 143, verse 3, David says, "The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness." The enemy pursues me. I want you to see that word. The enemy pursues me. And it says, "He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed." He said, I want to read it to you again. "The enemy pursues me." So you're being pursued by the enemy. David's being pursued by the enemy. You see, we don't realize sometimes that the devil's been after us. It doesn't mean he has authority over us. He clearly doesn't. We have the authority. But he pursues us, and the enemy chases us, and there are things that pursue us. There are things that chase us. In fact, you could ask yourself the question, what is pursuing you right now? Is it accusation that keeps coming at you? Is it condemnation that keeps coming at you? Is it sickness? Is it disease? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? What is pursuing you? What is pursuing your soul? What is going after your soul? What keeps chasing you? Now, we know that goodness and mercy is going to follow us all the days of our life, but the enemy is also trying to pursue us with badness and lack of mercy rather than goodness and mercy, and badness and condemnation. Satan pursues with condemnation. He pursues with accusation. He pursues with anxiety. He pursues with fear. What seems to meet up with you every day? What seems to be chasing you all the time? What seems to be coming against you all the time? That is the enemy. And it says he's He pursues our soul and he wants to crush our life to the ground. He wants us to sit in darkness like those long dead. Now there's a cure for this. There's a remedy for this. And we'll get to it, but the thing I want to really get across to you is we're going to stop. You know, somebody said to me a few years ago, I'm coming under a panic attack. What should I do when I have a panic attack? And my response was, attack back. So often we sit paralyzed by the things that pursue us, by the things that come against us. When God has given us offensive tools, he's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's given us the shield of faith. As we move forward, our faith protects us. Our faith in God's faithfulness protects us. My shield of faith is really God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is our shield. And we have been given these weapons. We've been given the Word of God like a hammer. The Bible describes the Word of God like a hammer. The Bible describes the Word of God like a sword. A hammer is a tool and a sword is a weapon. So God intended for us to use His Word as both a tool and a weapon. They're not to be just sitting on the staircase or sitting on a shelf somewhere or sitting in the back seat of your car. The Word of God is meant to be a tool used to build your life, and it's meant to be a weapon used to defend your life and attack the things that are attacking you. And I'll show you what I mean by that in just a moment. I want to take you to the passage of Scripture where we find out, how does David respond to this? So in Psalm 143, verse 3, the enemy pursues me, he crushes me to the ground. And I want to investigate for a moment with you, how did David respond to the enemy pursuing him? How did he respond to the enemy crushing him? How did he respond to the enemy trying to get him to sit in the darkness as if he was long dead? So I'll take you to 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I want you to see beginning in verse 1. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, a passage maybe you're familiar with or you've heard me share out of, but I love this passage of Scripture. There's so much wisdom here. There's so many simple steps in our journey of how to respond to the attacks that pursue against us and the enemy pursuing us. It says, it came to pass when David and his men had come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Anybody have some things in your life that have been burned? Anybody have some things in your life that are just ashes of what they once were, ashes of what you wish they could be once again? Well, I got good news for you. He's a master at turning our ashes into beauty. But in this moment, their city had been burned by fire by the Amalekites, and they had taken the women captive and all the children. And it says in verse 3, but David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, their wives and their sons and their daughters taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. So the first thing that we see David doing here is we see David weeping. We see David getting his emotions out of the way. I like to put it that way. I like to share that David was not immune to feeling and emotion and the pain that comes with the negative things that come against us, the pursuit of the enemy that came against him. Weeping is not a sign of weakness here. What David is doing is he's modeling for us, or what God is doing is he's showing us through David that it's okay when something negative, something bad happens in your life. It's okay to be affected in your emotions. In fact, it says here that David and these men that were with him, they wept until they had no more power to weep. It's not only okay to get your emotions out in the open with God, but it also is a part of the strategy for victory in our lives, that we can't allow our emotions to control our lives. We can't allow our emotions to run our mind. We can't allow our emotions to run our body. We can't allow our emotions to run our decisions or to determine our decisions. It's so important to get our emotions out of the way so the decisions that we make are not emotionally based decisions. It's okay to have emotions, but we can't allow emotions to have us. And so you can see this is one of the key elements of taking back what belongs to you, taking back the ground, taking back the people, taking back your family, taking back your finances, taking back your happiness, taking back your destiny, taking back your purpose. Man, there is a lot of loss in our lives. We lost a lot over the last 2 years. Our families might have lost a loved one. We lost friends. We all know somebody that was sick and died over the last year or two, whether they died from COVID or something else. There was so much stress. There was so much negativity. There was so much uncertainty that causes so much stress. And we know what it's like to lose. We know what it's like to have losses. And today we're getting it back. Today we're going to attack back. Today we're going to go on the attack. We're going to go on the offensive. And here in this moment, weeping, it may seem like that is acting like you're defeated. It's acting like you've lost and there's no recovery. But no, tears have purpose. The Bible says that those that sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Those that sow in tears. So your tears are often seeds that the Bible says, those that sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Those that sow in tears shall bring forth their sheaves. They'll bring forth their harvests. There's a harvest on the other side of those tears. There's a watering of your seeds. Those tears are watering every seed that has been sown in your life, every good seed that's been sown in your life. Those tears are watering those seeds, and a harvest is coming with joy, and a joyful shout is coming. Get ready for a joyful shout. Some of us have given up on expecting a joy out of this, expecting the victory out of this, expecting something bad to turn into something good. We got to know that it's coming. Our harvest is coming. Your harvest is coming. Your restoration is coming. Your recovery is coming. God says He will restore the years. He will restore the fortunes. He will restore your health. He will restore whatever the devil has taken, pursued to attack you. It's time to attack, like taking our stuff back, taking our souls back, taking our families back, taking our finances back, not letting the devil devour our days, our years, our finances, our lives, our family members anymore. David gets his emotions out of the way. The first thing he does. The second thing he does is it says in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30. Notice what it says. And David was greatly distressed. Everybody knows what stress and distress is like. We've all felt that. And even the people spoke of stoning him because they were grieving over every man had lost his sons and his daughters and their wives. They were kidnapped. They weren't killed, but they were kidnapped. And in fact, I want to pray for our church in Haiti. As you know, about a week or so ago, some missionaries were kidnapped from the city near Port-au-Prince, near where our missionaries are as well. And so I want to pray for their protection, and I want to pray for the recovery of all that's been lost. I want to pray for Christianity to prevail in that country. Father, I thank you. Let's just take a moment right now. Father, we thank you for the nation of Haiti, that though it's one of the poorest in all the world, we declare and proclaim it will be the richest, one of the richest nations of gospel preaching, one of the richest nations of missionary work, one of the richest nations of salvations and healings and light coming to where there's darkness. That whole nation will be filled with light rather than darkness. We pray that all kidnapping would cease, all the kidnappers would be found, all those that would try to take and steal and devour, every one of them would be removed and caught and found. The thieves will be found, and all of the people will be restored and unharmed in the name of Jesus. I also pray, Father, for your divine protection over our missionaries and Life Changers Church and Miracle Village. and all of the missionaries and the people that are at work there in our ministry and the ministries we partner with to be protected and preserved. The blood of Jesus is over them, and no weapon formed against them shall prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for praying and agreeing with me about that. And I'm just following the leading of the Holy Spirit there. But when David's and all of his men's family members were kidnapped, what does it say that David did? First, he wept and got his emotions out of the way. Second, he encouraged himself in the Lord. It says, even though this was happening, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. They spoke of stoning him, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He had lost everything, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. It seemed like all was lost, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He felt like giving up, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want you to find the power within you. There is power inside of you. There's Holy Spirit power. There's human spirit power. You know, you have human spirit power and you have Holy Spirit power. Your spirit is powerful inside and the Holy Spirit's inside of you. You have that kind of power to encourage yourself in the Lord. And listen, I want to say something about this, that encouragement is, my encouragement is my responsibility. Now, I want to be an encouragement to everybody I come in contact with. But my encouragement, me being encouraged, is my responsibility. I might get it from other places and other people, but it's my responsibility to get it. And you can get it from me. You can get encouragement from me, and you can get encouragement from your church, and you can get encouragement from others, but you have to be responsible to be the responsible one to actually get it. Like, it's available. This church is available to encourage you. When we started this church, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to run a church. I didn't know what it meant to be a pastor. And God spoke to me and He said, do these three things: love people unconditionally, teach them my word uncompromisingly, and encourage them unceasingly. To encourage them unceasingly. So I'm always going to encourage you. And I'm always going to tell you how great you are. I'm always going to tell you that God's on your side. And I'm always going to tell you you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. But you got to come under this spout and this umbrella of encouragement. That's why you got to tune in. That's why you're tuning in. That's why you got to show up so you can grow up. Encouragement can come. Encouragement does come from our church. Encouragement does come from a life group or a small group. So, but you got to participate in them. By participating in them, you're subjecting yourself to the encouragement that comes from them. So the second thing David did was he encouraged himself. Encouragement is my responsibility. I got to make sure that I'm subjecting myself to encouragement. I got to make sure I'm in an environment where I'm getting encouraged. And that's why a church family is so important to be planted in. But notice he took responsibility for his encouragement. Nobody else was going to do the encouraging for him. He had to do it for himself. And we can do that for ourselves. We can encourage ourselves by praising God. We can encourage ourselves by gathering with the saints, by being a part of a church family. We can encourage ourselves by speaking God's word. We can encourage ourselves through prayer. We can encourage ourselves by praying in the Holy Spirit. These are all ways and mechanisms that God has given us to encourage ourselves, to build ourselves up, to strengthen ourselves, to breathe and infuse life and infuse hope and infuse courage in our lives and in our hearts and in our souls and in our bodies as well. So the second thing David did was he encouraged himself. Say that, encouragement is my responsibility. Say that out loud, encouragement is my responsibility. Amen. It's also my responsibility to both encourage myself and encourage the people I'm in relationship with. So it is my responsibility to be on both ends of it. It's my responsibility to encourage you. It's my responsibility to make sure I'm encouraged as well. And so for you also, that you stay plugged in and planted. And if you haven't been planted, get planted in God's house. Get planted. Make this a part of your regular lifestyle, living life with the people that and the church that God has put you in, whether it's globally online or whether it's in person. Everybody belongs in a church family. So get planted and encourage yourself in that way. The third thing David did was in verse 7, he asked for the priest's garments. He asked for the priest's garments. He wasn't a priest, but he asked for the priest's garments so that he could go to God for direction. And that's what priests do. The priest was responsible to go to God. Back in those days, the priest would go to God on behalf of the people and then come to the people on behalf of God and tell the people what to do. But David says, I got to be a priest right now. I got to go to God and I got to find out what to do. And I want to encourage you. The next thing David did was he went to God. He went to God. He had to get the priest's garments so that he had the right to go to God. But we have the right to go to God because we're wearing the priest's garment because we're wearing Jesus Christ. We're wearing his precious blood in our lives. We're wearing his precious righteousness. We are his righteousness now, right? So we can go to God. We can come boldly to the throne of his grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We can do that anytime. By the blood of Jesus, or because of the blood of Jesus, we can go right to God and get the wisdom that we need. This is what David did. He took the priest's garment and he went to God. He went to God. He went to God. Man, when you feel like giving up, go to God. When you feel like you don't know what to do, go to God. When it seems like life is pursuing you, sickness is pursuing you, the devil's pursuing you, troubles pursuing you, sickness and disease, fear, anxiety, worry, financial problems, whatever it is that's pursuing you, go to God about it. He's not going to be mad at you. He's going to have an abundance of mercy. He's going to have an abundance of grace available to you. Go to God about it. This is the third thing that David did. He took on the priest's garments and went to God for wisdom. Boy, we can ask God for wisdom anytime. You know that, right? Jesus has been made our wisdom. So we can go and say, Jesus, you have been made unto us wisdom. So impart your wisdom to me on what to do about what I've lost and what's been taken from me and what's been stolen from me, and my family members that aren't saved and my finances that are falling apart or my marriage that's not working or my kids that are out of control. Go to God and ask him for wisdom. He will give it to you in abundance, he says, but ask in faith without doubting. Go and believe that he's going to give you what you ask for. The fourth thing that David did was found in verse 8 of this passage. It said, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail you shall recover all. He said, pursue, yes, pursue, and you shall overtake them, and without fail you shall recover all. So not only did David receive direction, but David received a promise. And I want you to know that whenever we go to God, we should go to him based on a promise. We should go to him and expect a promise that he has given us to be revealed to us, or for us to be reminded of the promise that he said, I'll supply all your needs, or I'll never leave you or forsake you, or I'll give you whatever you ask for. We should always, whenever anything is pursuing us, whenever we've lost anything and we want to get it back, when we've lost time and we lost money and we lost our mind and we lost family members, or our family members are lost and they're not born again, whatever it is that's missing in your life, go to God for direction and go to God and receive his promise and receive the yes and amen to the promise of God, since all of his promises are yes. So David goes to God and receives God's promise. And what is God's promise here in verse 8? His promise is, as you pursue, you shall overtake them, and without fail, you shall recover all. You're going to overtake them. Whatever's been overtaking you, you're going to overtake it. Whatever has been taken from you, you're going to recover it without fail. All of it, not some of it. What does he say? And without fail, you will recover all. This is God's promise. And God is obligated to keep this promise to you. If he gave it, if he told David and gave David this promise, that same promise is available to you, because God is no respecter of persons. Whatever he promised one person, he has promised another person as well. God is not limited to where only this guy can get what God promised, but this girl and this guy and this gal and this person, all of us can have whatever God promised. We can recover all, and without fail will recover all. And that's the basis upon which David went to God, received this promise. And then guess what he did? The next thing he did was he acted on what God said. So David went, verse 10. So David went, verse 9. So David went, verse 10. So David went in verse 9. David pursued in verse 10. Wow. David went and acted on the word of God. You know what Jesus said. He said, the fool is the one who hears the word and does not act upon it is like building his house on the sand when the wind comes and the storm hits that house. Great is the fall. Tragically, great tragedy is the fall of that man's house. But the wise man who built his house upon the rock is the one who hears the word of God and acts upon it. And you just hear it and say, okay, that's enough, but we act upon it. If God would have said, yes, pursue, and David would have said, okay, thank you for that word, Lord, pursue, but I'm just gonna sit here and wait to see if you give me another word. Like sometimes the word God gives us, we wanna kind of negotiate with him, can I give you that one back and get a better one? And really, the next step is to pursue. It's to act on the wisdom of God. It's to act on the word of God. It's to forgive somebody, to forgive yourself. Maybe that's the next thing, the next step that you need to take. Maybe it's to give. Maybe it's to share the gospel with somebody. Maybe it's to ask somebody to forgive you. Maybe it's whatever it is. Hearing it is not the same as doing it. So we need to act on what we have just heard. And I want to encourage you to do that. Seek God for his wisdom and direction, and then act accordingly, act upon the wisdom that he gives you. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, I need some wisdom, what would you do in such and such? And I say, well, this is what I would do in that situation. And then that person says to me, all right, well, I'll think about that. Well, wait, you asked me what I would do in the situation because you're in the situation, and here's what you're asking. You're asking me what I would do so that you can know what to do. Here's what I'm saying. Well, I'll pray about it. Maybe God will tell me something else to do. And you know what? Maybe he will. But if somebody asks me for wisdom about how to respond to a situation, I'm going to only give them something if I know it's rooted in God's word and rooted in God's love. But the difference between success and failure for that person will be whether they acted upon it, whether I act upon the wisdom that I pursue as well, whether I act upon it or just hear it and then let it go in one ear and out the other. David acted on what God told him to do. And so God revealed to him, when the word of God is revealed to you, God's word was revealed to me. I realized God's word and the revelation of God's word concerning giving. So I give. I act upon what has been revealed to me. So I forgive. I act upon what's been revealed to me in God's word. Not everybody has had the word of God revealed to them in all areas of life. We're all a work in progress. But what has been revealed to us, let's act upon what has been revealed to us. This is how we attack. This is how we attack back. We're not attacking people, we're attacking the thing that has been attacking us, and the thing that is taken from us, and the thing that is stolen from us, and the enemy that has pursued us. In fact, David describes this in another place in Scripture, in Psalm 18. How should we go about pursuing? How should we go about dismantling the wrong beliefs that we have? It says in Psalm 18, verse 37, David says, I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. Now notice the thoroughness in David's action here. He says, I shattered them. See, there are mindsets that we've had in our lives. We've thoughts like, you're a failure, you'll never make it. You're never going to be able to overcome that sickness. You're never going to be able to get past your past. You're never going to be able to rise above the negativity of your life. And we have to attack those thoughts the way David attacks his enemy in verse 37. He said, I pursued them, I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back until they were consumed. But he didn't stop there until they were consumed. He said in verse, he's just relentless and he's merciless towards his enemies. Now, that's how we need to be with our enemies. But this is not, remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood, so it's not people that are our enemy. But it's thoughts, it's mindsets, wrong beliefs, wrong assumptions. Not only did he not turn back until they were all consumed, but in verse 38, he says, I shattered them so that they were not able to rise. You got to just keep pounding those wrong thoughts out of you with God's word, God's promises, God's grace, God's goodness, and just attack your sickness with God's word. Attack your debt, your financial problems with God's word. Shatter that debt with God's promises so that they were not able to rise. Look at how he describes his enemies. They were so shattered that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. He goes on to say, for you've girded me with strength for battle. You've subdued under me those who rose up against me. You've also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. Remember, we're talking about thoughts that hate us, thoughts that are against us, demonic forces that are against us, strongholds that come against us, strongholds of addiction, strongholds of fear, strongholds of anxiety, strongholds of panic, strongholds of depression, strongholds of self-hate and rejection, strongholds of sickness and disease, strongholds of the expectation of financial ruin, the expectation that you're never going to have enough, that belief, that scarcity mindset that there's never enough, that fear mindset that you can't give. Those are your enemies. Those are the things that hate you. Those are the things that want to destroy you, and we got to destroy them by taking every thought captive, by speaking the word of God. They cried for help, he says in verse 41, they cried for help, but there was none to save. Even they cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. He's not going to answer the devil. He's not going to respond to the things that are coming against you. He's going to respond to you. He said, then I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I emptied them out as mire of the streets. I emptied them out as the dust, the mire, the mud, the muck of the streets. He said, I thought he pursued them and overtook them back in verse 37, but then he says he shattered them in verse 38. Then it says he crushed them and he obliterated them. And then he says, after doing all that to his enemies, like, we're too easy on the things that come against us. We're too easy on sickness. We don't attack it. We're too easy on fear. We don't attack it. We're too easy on our anxiety. We just sit there and take it. And we got to be aggressive against the things that are coming against us. No weapon formed against me will prosper. That weapon of fear, I rebuke that. I command that thing. Those demons that are coming against my family with unbelieving spirits, I bind and I refuse and forbid the devil to affect my family members with unbelief anymore and keep them in the dark and keep them in darkness and keep them defeated. No, in Jesus' name. And that's how you do it. That's how you beat them as fine as dust before the wind and empty them out as the mire of the streets. That's how to engage. It's not about the volume. I know I'm being a little louder now, but it's not about the volume. It's about not being merciful to your enemy. And when I talk about enemies, I'm talking about spiritual and emotional enemies, not people. You got this. So what do we do to get our stuff back? What do we do to pursue and overtake? One, we attack. We eliminate passivity. We go after the things in our lives that are going after us. We don't just sit as bystanders. We become, we take the offense. We go on offense and we attack that which has tried to attack us. Attack that fear with God's word. Attack, use your words and use the promises of God. The promises of God's word. Dismantle the belief system. This is how you pursue and overtake and have everything restored to you. You pursue it, you overtake it, and it's restored to you. By attacking, eliminating passivity, go after it, use your words, dismantle limiting beliefs and limiting assumptions. And the previous assumptions you've had about certain people, that kind of person is always like this. Those are assumptions that you need to take captive. Those are your enemies. That way of thinking about other people, that negativity, is that's your enemy. And as we close and we get ready to take communion, I want to bring you back to Psalm 143. And I want you to see what he does to enforce his victory. It says, for the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. But I remember the days of old. I remember and meditate on all that you have done, Lord. And I think about and I remember the work of your hands. Now, this is where your breakthrough really comes. He said, I remember the work of your hands. I think upon the work of your hands. What are the work of his hands? He stretched out his hands and was crucified for you. He stretched out his hands and he was crucified for you, so that through his blood, you could have the victory. Through his blood, you could conquer the enemies of your mind and your body and your thoughts, and the enemies coming against your family and your health and your peace and your happiness. The enemies that are trying to keep your family members from being saved. So as we take communion today, we're pondering the work of his hands. We're remembering what he did with his hands. He shed all of his blood with his hands and his body. Every bit of it was spilled for you so that you would have the victory. So Jesus, when it was finished, he said, "It is finished." What did he do with his hands? He finished it. What did he do with his hands? He created a new covenant so that you would have authority and that you would have victory, and you could walk in this victory, and you could walk in this healing, and you could walk in this freedom and deliverance and power and anointing and ability. And all of that is through his hands, through his blood, through his body, and through his blood. So let's take communion together. And I want to just encourage you to take the bread and just pray this with me as we take communion all over the world, all over in our homes, from house to house, in the temple and from house to house. I want you to say this: Lord Jesus, I believe in your body. And I believe when I eat this bread, I am activating your healing, your victory, your power, your anointing. I'm activating the authority that you've given me over my enemies of fear, of anxiety, of worry, of sickness, of disease. I'm exercising my authority. When I eat this bread and drink this cup, say that out loud. When I eat this bread and drink this cup, I'm exercising my authority and healing flows. I'm exercising my authority and peace flows. I'm exercising my authority and wisdom flows. I'm exercising my authority and the anointing flows, removing burdens and destroying yokes. As I eat this bread, I experience and enjoy the victory that your body has given me. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's eat the bread together. And I want you to believe. I want you to believe with me. And I want to believe with you. I want to agree with you for your breakthrough, your healing. It's all because of what he did with his hands. It's all because of what he shed with his blood, so that you could have peace, so that you could forgive yourself, forgive others. You're drinking the power of his forgiveness, the power of his new covenant, which brings every blessing into your life that you need. Just say, "Heavenly Father, I receive the blessing that Jesus paid for me to have. I receive the anointing. I receive the power. I receive the breakthrough. Because it's all in your blood, in Jesus' name." Let's receive the cup. If you prayed with me and took communion with me, we took communion with Jesus. And we're family. Family stays together. Family covers each other. Family defends each other. Let's fight for one another rather than with one another. And let's continue to stay planted and stay connected to the precious body of Christ through communion and through our community and fellowship with each other. Now, if you have never prayed to receive Jesus Christ in your life, it's so simple. And you didn't harm yourself, or you didn't set yourself up for anything bad coming into your life if you took the bread and drank the cup before you were saved. I would go to the Catholic Church many times and take communion before I was saved. So it didn't hurt me, it didn't harm me. If anything, it opened the door for me to actually believe in the body and blood of Jesus. So just pray this prayer. If you've never been sure you're going to heaven when you die, pray this. Just say, "Jesus, I receive you into my life as my Savior. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. Just say that I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. From this moment forward, I'm a child of God. Amen. It's that simple. If you prayed that prayer, we're family now. We're family with God as our Father, and we're brothers and sisters, and we're family together. So let me know you prayed that prayer. There's a link on your screen. Get the book, The Power of a New Life. It's my gift to you, absolutely free. You can download it anywhere in the world. It's right there available to you. Make sure you take advantage of that. Thank you for joining our global family. Thank you for joining our global communion. And thank you for being a part of a church family that loves you, that teaches you, and that will encourage you unceasingly. I love you guys. Can't wait to see you at our next service. God bless.
Hey everyone, thanks again for joining us on the podcast. Remember, we are celebrating our Heart for the House season, and you are invited to be a part of it. For all the ways you can be a part of Heart for the House, go over to gregorydickow.com/heart. You can give, you can find out what your giving is doing, and you can join us for our weekly worship experiences every Sunday live. So that's gregorydickow.com/heart, and have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time.